Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
It's sky high because the Goodyear blimp doesn't show up for just anybody. So don't be just anybody. Be blimp worthy. Goodyear, more driven.
Coming up on a Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM, we'll look back at a wild weekend as far as college football is concerned. The Big Ten is a mess in the West. The Big Ten is a mess in the East. We'll kick that around, take a look at some NFL. High school playoff teams have been released. We will talk about that and get your feedback as well. It's all coming up on a Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And hi, everyone, and welcome to the Gym Class on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Great to have you with us. We are being presented by Third Base Brewery once again. We are, of course, very grateful to all the folks at Third Base. They are located at the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Locally owned and operated. And when you're at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop on by, become a member of the Third Base Mug Club, get a lifetime membership of happy hour priced beers and a free appetizer. For every $100 you spend on food and drinks for just $25, stop on by, join today, corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. And Mark, good afternoon, a sunny, beautiful day around Eastern Iowa today.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good afternoon to listeners out there. Hope you had a great weekend and great to start another week of the Gym Class and terrific week of sports, not only with college and high school football, but the World Series starting tomorrow. We'll get into that at some point between now and tomorrow. Boston and L.A., the networks are happy.
Yeah, they are.
And should be a good series, I think. And we'll get your input on that, that result. But very interesting weekend in college football, as usual. Not only in Iowa City, but Cedar Falls.
Yeah.
And I know you were up there to see that game against number two or three South Dakota State. I don't remember what the ranking was there, but terrific win by UNI and a much-needed one at that.
Yeah, the Jackrabbits came in, and UNI got the victory in that one for homecoming. Then you had – so UNI, that really helped their playoff standing, because now you got a win over South Dakota State, you got a win over South Dakota, lost but looked good for three quarters at least against North Dakota State, and I'm not going to say the schedule, it does soften up a little bit now for UNI, at least a little bit anyway. Illinois State is still on the horizon coming up. Western Illinois is not going to be a walkover this week in Macomb, but at least the Dakotas are out of the way now.
I think it's a fabulous job by Mark Farley and his defensive crew.
Yes, because they are night and day.
50-plus points against North Dakota State, and then to keep South Dakota State out of the end zone.
Yeah.
That was terrific.
Yeah. 319-366-1600, the Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line. If you would like to weigh in on college football over the weekend, as we started off the show, the Big Ten is a big mess right now. And you take a look at the West, due to Purdue's just shellacking of the Ohio State Buckeyes on Saturday night at West Lafayette at Ross-Ade Stadium. And Purdue, all credit going to the Boilermakers because they looked really good. And I said, and we'll give the results of the Eagles Hideaway pick six coming up in a little bit, I said I like Purdue because I think Ohio State's defense is not very good, and they were not very good again. Nick Bosa or not, that is a soft defense, and Purdue exploited them. Moore is going to be an absolute stud. He already is going to be even bigger and better as he gets to the sophomore and junior years for him. And I told you, I texted you after the game, and I said, Iowa season comes up. I said next 2 weeks, but it's really the next 3 weeks.
It is.
And then we'll Mike Halas writes about that today. So we'll ask Mike about his observations on that, because Iowa, next 3 weeks, at Penn State, at Purdue, and then Northwestern. There's your Big Ten West right there, basically.
There are elimination games coming up, I think, and one may be this week, Iowa and Penn State. Should Iowa lose, it is behind the eight ball. But we ask you at KGYMRadio.com, we've got, here's the standings, Northwestern 4-1, Wisconsin, Purdue, and Iowa 3-1 in the Big Ten West. Which team will win that division? Will it be Iowa, Wisconsin, Purdue, or Northwestern?
Minnesota, Nebraska, and Illinois have been eliminated from our poll.
Well, here's what's ahead. Iowa, of course, faces Penn State and Purdue on the road, then comes home to play Northwestern and has remaining games against Illinois and Nebraska. Northwestern already half game up with that opening game victory over Purdue, and that could loom large. Northwestern has a game at Iowa in 3 weeks, at Minnesota, and home against Illinois. You would say the Wildcats might control their destiny. They play Notre Dame this week, non-conference game.
That is correct.
Wisconsin has to go to Penn State, has to go to Purdue, has to go to Northwestern, and has home games against Rutgers and Minnesota. A little rough for Wisconsin. Purdue is at Michigan State, at Indiana, at Minnesota, and home against Iowa and Wisconsin. Who do you favor? Go ahead and vote. KGYMRadio.com. Give us a comment on the Hertine and Stocker Jeweler text line, 319-366-1600. That's also our phone line. Kyle Mann, our producer, today and nearly every day.
If you go strictly on schedule, you almost have to favor the Big Ten Zombies, the Northwestern Wildcats.
Mm.
They never die. And they had such a Northwestern-type win on Saturday. They sleptwalked through Rutgers. Allowed Rutgers to hang and hang. We'll get a late touchdown midway through the fourth and come away with them.
It was ugly.
With a single-digit victory up at Piscataway. And probably will knock off Notre Dame this week, knowing Northwestern. If I believe I texted you. If you can figure out Northwestern, please let me know. I did text that to you, as a matter of fact, over the weekend. And I can't figure out Northwestern for the life of me. Cannot figure them out one iota. And what I do know is they play usually up or down to their competition. And they played down to their competition in Piscataway on Saturday, but they got a win. And that's all that matters at the end. And Northwestern stays on top. And who would have thought that game in late August over at Ross-Ade Stadium in West Lafayette may go a long, long way, like you said, to determine who's going to be in the Big Ten championship.
And it was a
game.
Purdue defensive penalty that allowed Northwestern.
Yes,
I don't
it
remember
did.
It was that game or the next game, but allowed Northwestern to run out the clock.
By their senior all-Big Ten player back in that game that we commented on at that time. But that may come back to haunt Purdue a little bit. Iowa, would you right now, Mark, and I'll ask the listeners this as well, at 319-366-1600, if you are the Iowa Hawkeyes, seeing what is ahead of you the next 3 weeks, would you take 2-1?
No.
3-0.
If you have aspirations of winning the West, no, that's not going to be good enough.
Okay, 3-0, it's got to be.
Yes.
To win the West, Iowa must go 3-0 the next three games. 2-1 will not cut it.
I agree.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. What do you think out there? 319-366-1600.
Yeah, Department of Corrections, Northwestern has Wisconsin this weekend and then Notre Dame the following week. My apologies. I got those games reversed.
Is that at Snowy Madison? By the way, was that weird?
Snow and then ended in sunshine.
It was beautiful in the end. Well, sort of beautiful, but man alive, that was crazy to see that snow falling in Madison. And it was serious snow. Sleetish, wettish snow, but snow nonetheless. That's how close we came to it here in Eastern Iowa. That is about as close as I would like to be for a while.
97-66 on the text line. Purdue should be undefeated.
Big Ten.
Overall, lost
to Eastern Michigan.
Lost by 4 to Northwestern, lost by 1 to Eastern Michigan, lost by 3 to Missouri, and now has reeled off 4 in a row.
Everyone kind of, the sexy pick going into the Big Ten this year was Purdue. And I think the Boilermakers are now showing exactly why that was the situation.
What do you make of that game, though, on Saturday? It was so reminiscent of Iowa's 55-24 win over Ohio State last year. Is it sort of an outlier?
I thought Ohio State was soft.
This year or last year?
This year, in the game against Purdue. You get Ohio State down, apparently.
It was laughable in the fourth quarter.
Absolutely. Kirk Herbstreit said it best. Ohio State throwing 70 times in a football game. If that happens, no. You just can't. Ohio State's not going to win games that they're going to throw 70 times. Woody Hayes somewhere is rolling over on Saturday night watching Haskins throw that ball 70 times.
Ryan from Walford has a different perspective on the text line. Everyone talks about how big and bad the East is, but you could make a case the West is stronger this year. Thoughts?
Yeah, I thought about that. I really did. Penn State has not been as good as advertised.
2 losses.
Michigan's been very good. Very good. I think they'd love to have a first-half do-over over in South Bend in week number 1.
Michigan State's got 3 losses.
Michigan State has not been as advertised. And Ohio State just got pounded on the road by Purdue. So I would have to agree with the listener. I would have to agree. I'm not going to go out and say it's better than the East, but
the gap is closed.
I think the gap is closed a little bit. And Nebraska won. Happy first win to all the Husker fans out there. And I know there are quite a few of them.
I'm telling you, they're getting better.
Oh, yeah.
The Black Friday game. How interesting will that be?
It's not going to be a walkover. 319-366-1600. That's the Hurtinus Dr. Jewelers text line and also our phone lines. And as a matter of fact, we're going to bring in Mark from Cedar Rapids, wants to talk about the Big Ten and championship teams. Mark, good afternoon.
How you doing, fellas? Sorry y'all not out at Ellis with my dog like I am, enjoying the weather.
Oh, yeah. Mark, man.
I had to do it, fellas.
Well, we're glad you did, and we're glad you took us along.
Okay, but Iowa has a great shot. You see, Northwestern's sneaky. They didn't snuck and stole that game out of Purdue, and nobody really thought about it. But Northwestern is one of those teams when you're like, how did they win? And that is Iowa's nemesis. I really think the winner of that Northwestern-Iowa game is going to be the West. Because if Iowa could beat Northwestern, I think they could beat the rest of the teams. Iowa should beat Northwestern, but that's, you know how teams always have that one team that always beats them and stumbles them?
Yeah.
You don't know how they do it?
Yeah.
But I believe it's Northwestern. What do you guys think?
I think it depends on what happens the next couple weeks, but should it come down to that game, absolutely yes. And I think Iowa would be favored in that game, but you make a great point, Mark. Northwestern has been a nemesis.
Running quarterback, and just something about that has hurt Iowa.
It's just that, Iowa should beat them. You're like, how are they losing this game? and Northwestern is one of them teams, and you look at them, you're like, they're winning. And they sneak. I'm afraid of Northwestern because, to me, Northwestern is Iowa's nemesis. They always seem to get in their way. They always seem to get in their way and stop Iowa from doing really good things.
Right. And I will say this, Mark. I will say this, Mark, for this year, since that is the third of the three big games coming up for the Hawkeyes, I was going to know a lot more about what it needs to do, and Northwestern, obviously, is going to know a lot more than what it needs to do on that particular Saturday. But, hey, enjoy the beautiful day and have fun with the dog out in the park.
Oh, yeah, and I'm still listening to your show, though, so don't worry about
Thank
it.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. 319-366-1600. Mark checking with us from Ellis Park.
Darren on the text line, do not crown Purdue too quickly. Iowa put a beating on Ohio State last year, and look what happened after that.
And Ohio State could run the table. That's just kind of the way it goes. But it's looking more and more like it's going to be the fourth Saturday in November in Columbus to determine who's going to go to the Big Ten championship game between Michigan and Ohio State. Before we get to a break, though, oh my gosh, you've got rivalries, Mark, in college football, and then you've got pure, unadulterated hatred. Michigan State was pure, unadulterated hatred, and it's not going to get any better. That was ugly. Ugly, ugly, ugly on Saturday.
Bush looks stupid.
Well, Michigan State doing what they did. It takes two to tango, Mark, and they both tangoed in this one. But looking at Bush when the camera was panned in on him, oh my gosh, that was not rivalry. That was ugly. That could have been an ugly, ugly situation.
Yeah.
And you hate to see anything like that. But does the Big Ten have to step in between Michigan and Michigan State? And from the coaches on down, and I guarantee you, those two guys are the instigators of a lot of this, D'Antonio and Harbaugh, because that's kind of what this has deteriorated to. But that was scary. Michigan State, in case you missed it, walking their Spartan walk.
Mm-hmm.
They got a late start on the day on that. And waited until Michigan had some of their players out on the field. They joined hands, walked sideline to sideline across. Went right through all the Michigan players. They didn't like it. And then Bush goes to the Spartan logo and starts tearing it up at midfield after that.
Trying to, anyway.
Trying to.
Yeah.
And then Michigan, after the game, celebrated on the Spartan logo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's getting nasty between the Spartans and the Wolverines up there. You don't like to see that. You want to see a little bit of rivalry, but that's why when people ask me, yeah, what about Iowa State? Yeah, it's a rivalry and it's kind of a fun rivalry. That it's not deteriorated to that lowest common denominator.
At least not that we know of.
Or
yeah.
Something Auburn, Alabama-esque or whatnot.
John and Dubuque on the text line. Let's clean up a couple texts there. Had we not lost to Wisconsin, I would take a 2-1 finish. I think Iowa is the best team in the Big Ten East or the West. Most complete team offense and defense.
I think they're up there, but Michigan's pretty good too.
69-36, we keep saying. Teams won't be a walkover the last 2 weeks, but they kind of have been. I predict 14-plus point win over Nebraska. 98-42, if Iowa's on their A game, they can beat any team in the Big Ten. John and Dubuque back at us. Northwestern will be beat up physically by the time it gets to Iowa City. Maybe a decent point, John. Wisconsin this week for the Wildcats and then Notre Dame. 69-36, he said he'd love the Michigan State antics. Those rivalries are great.
That was hatred, though.
Ryan, the food delivery guy. I don't think the running quarterback hurts Iowa as much this year with the defensive line and being able to be disciplined. Well, you better hope so, because Trace McSorley is really good.
Yeah.
He's got some Baker Mayfield in him, I think. Not just because of the headband, but his ability to beat you in many ways. And that's certainly going to be a test Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the weekend happenings, and then we'll talk a little bit about the high school football playoffs as well. Are you happy with how everything came out? We'll get your thoughts about that at 319-366-1600. Mike Halas coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Stay with us. It is a gym class for a Monday coming your way right here on KGYM.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Cheer the Hawks on in style with Big Brothers Big Sisters at the Gridiron Bash October 27th. Enjoy the best seat in the house, the Kinnick Stadium Press Box, while watching the Iowa-Penn State game. There'll be plenty of food, beverages, and the coolest silent auction around too.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Your savings will soar even higher with Fairfax State Savings Bank. Right now, with special CD rates, your money can skyrocket by up to 3.30% annual percentage yield, or APY, for a term of 61 months. When your savings rise, it means more for your family, your future, and your peace of mind. These special CD rates are available now at Fairfax State Savings Bank. $5,000 minimum to open. Limited time offer. Get details at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC.
People think that I'm not a big firm, I'm not a large company. What would anyone want with my data? But you don't know. Client credit cards, employee information, it's all critically important and it needs to stay secure.
Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. If you ever have a question about how secure is your network, give us a call. We can certainly do an audit.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association at this station.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Back on the gym class, KGYM at 325. Thank you very much for tuning in. We need to salute the winner of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 from this past weekend. He will be giving out his picks later on today for $9.95 a call. That is Todd Brommelkamp from the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn.
He wasn't doing that a month ago.
He's a sharp guy now, isn't he?
Yeah. Todd Brommelkamp, second week in a row, goes 5-1 and wins the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. Beneficiary is Greg. I'm not sure where Greg is from, but I think Cedar Rapids. But at any rate, Greg wins a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway.
Greg from Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, and congratulations to Greg. And on the strength of Todd and Dave, by the way, Dave Alec has pulled into a tie for the individual lead with one Kyle Mann. Steady Dave.
He's got all. He is the professor.
He was 4-2. So the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn has overtaken us for the team lead by one game.
Are you looking at me?
On his strength of a 12-6 week. We were 9-9. No, you were 3-3. Kyle, 2-4. Myself, 4-2. So the season is long, but it's quite a team race and quite an individual race. But Todd with his third individual win of the year.
Yeah, congratulations to Greg and Todd and... We'll try it again Friday this week. We're back to Fridays now. Tailgate Tour has come to a halt for the year, and thanks to all the great sponsors for helping out with Tailgate Tour North and South. We do appreciate it. More on that coming up in a moment. Mark loves this. On October 22nd, AP College Basketball poll released today. Kansas, your number one team, although they may be implicated in the whole FBI probe, but Kansas number one, Kentucky two, Gonzaga three, Duke four, Virginia five, Tennessee sixth, he says. Nevada 7th. I love this. I love chaos. Defending national champion Villanova is 9th with Michigan State 10th. Other local teams, K-State 12, West Virginia is 13. Michigan is 19, TCU is 20th, and the Purdue Boilermakers are in at number 24. No votes for either Iowa or Iowa State. Also today, the Big Ten has announced their women's basketball preseason honorees, and congratulations to Megan Gustafson of Iowa, who was named the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year today.
As it should be.
As it should be. She, along with Kathleen Doyle, on first team. Iowa picked to finish second in the Big Ten race behind Maryland. So, and ahead of Minnesota, I believe, who was picked third. So some good laurels going out before the year. You'd like to have the laurels after the season more than before the year, but still pretty good, pretty strong stuff there.
Potential to be a very good season for the Iowa women, and I'm sure we'll talk to Lisa Bluter and or Jan Jensen as the season progresses, but this should be a very, very good Iowa women's basketball team.
Yeah. High school football, the playoffs are set. The brackets are set, at least the quadrants are set through the first couple of rounds. Much consternation by some over the weekend. But I think, in fact, I talked about this a little bit earlier, I think that for the most part, everything came out pretty good as far as teams that made it and et cetera over the weekend. I know there are a lot of people upset out there, though.
And that's been going on since the playoffs began.
Since 1972. Over 40 years ago,
yeah. I don't know if this is the right system. The only questions I have about it, one is about the RPI. Are all the right metrics in place to rank these teams? I don't know the answer to that. I don't even know all the metrics. But if you're going to use an RPI system to determine the playoff qualifiers, I know it depends on your opponent's records and your opponent's opponent's records. And
also depends on districts, too.
And districts, and there's a lot that goes into it. That's one question that I have. And then as was discussed on your show with John Haggerty on Saturday, the non-district opponents and teams and schools don't get to pick their non-district opponents, although they can make suggestions to the Iowa High School Athletic Association. The association makes the non-district schedules.
Correct.
So therein, the schools and the teams don't have control over who they play in the non-district, and that is very important because, as one coach said, do you want to strengthen your RPI with tough teams, or do you want to try to get four teams you can beat?
And that is going to be something that coaches have to get together with their ADs, with their staff, and deliberate for the next cycle and the next go-around. Is it a perfect system? No. But there is no perfect system out there. I would like to see it tweaked for that, what you talked about, and that is if you are a 3A team playing a 4A team, you should get a little bump up. Mm-hmm. Likewise, if you're, say, a 3A team and you play a 2A or a 1A even, you should get a little bump off of the mark that you get from that. Maybe a thousandth of a point up or a thousandth of a point down, whatever the case may be. I would like to see that happen the next go-around. I looked over the RPIs. Only of the six classes and of the 96 teams that made it, only five were essentially, quote-unquote, edged out by a district champion that was beyond the 16th RPI finish in their class. The team that probably has the most complaining to do is Clear Lake. They finished, I think, 7-2. And they are not going to be in the playoffs in 2A. That probably is the team around the state that has the most to complain about. But there's not a perfect system. And I saw a tweet over the weekend that a gentleman listed two systems that I had never even heard of before of how to determine things. And it comes down to this, and I'll say it for the 150th time. The Iowa High School Athletic Association is not going back to anything that has to do with score differential or margin of victory. It's just not going to happen anymore. And if you want to know why, go ask Kennedy coach Brian White about that from what they had to go through last year in the Linmar game when they were forced, when they were trying to, they had a lead, healthy lead in the game and were forced to call timeouts and pass at the end because they needed all the points they can get.
Last thing Coach White wanted to do.
Exactly. And they, the things that were said to him and written to him and his staff and to the high school were no one would want to go through that. And that's why they, one of the reasons why they got rid of that.
Text from the 515 area code, a 4-5, knew this was coming, Scott. Southeast Polk team made the playoffs. There were 4 or 5 teams who were 4-5-4 and left out in 4A. Not an ideal system. I would like a rule that no team can be considered if they win 4 games or less.
Yeah.
I agree about the adjusting for 4A versus a 3A team.
I would agree with that, too.
Southeast Polk's schedule was really tough.
Southeast Polk's schedule was murderer's row for their 4 non-districts, and I think they went 1-3 in there. I can look it up real quick.
Got a huge boost to the RPI because of that.
Right.
And, yeah, I can see the point. Southeast Polk is the number 16 seed in 4A and will face Ankeny Centennial in the first round. We'll see how good that Southeast Polk team is.
They played Valley, Waukee, and West to open the season. All district champions, all in the playoffs. Fourth game was against a pretty good Des Moines East team that beat up Indianola over the weekend. Des Moines East did not make it, but they ended up 5-4, which helped Southeast Polk.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because you think, well, one game is not going to make a difference. Well, tell Prairie that because Prairie's got to go on the road now for 2 hours on a trip on Friday night because of the fact that Johnston got 3 extra wins due to a couple of upsets on Friday night.
A team in Prairie that has lost only to Waukee and Cedar Falls.
Correct.
Two of the top teams in the class.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's interesting, certainly. All right, we need to take a break. We'll get to Michael. You got one? Go ahead. Give me another one.
Yeah, just two more. 73-95. Win, win, win. And from the 583 area code, question I can't answer. Why can't the IHSAA figure this football stuff out?
I think they're trying. This system was based on what Colorado is doing, some input from that state. I believe it's Colorado.
And I'm sure coaches have some input, right?
They do. Ultimately, it's the Iowa High School Athletic Association's decision, though, on what they're going to do. Now, I know some folks want to go to 32 teams. I know some want to go with a 9-game schedule in 32. Well, if that's the case, then you're going to start playing games before school is even in session. And then you've got to start practice while baseball is still going. Now, maybe there's a little bit of smoke out there because they're talking about moving baseball season back a couple of weeks. Maybe there's something brewing here. Maybe there's smoke out there with this. I don't know. But as of right now, this is what we're living with. And if there's a better system out there, please let us know.
Bring it. Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. Mike Halas joins us next.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right?
Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Hey, Amy, did you know the Honda Dream Deal sales event is literally happening right now where you can literally get great deals on certified pre-owned Hondas?
Literally? I don't trust that word anymore ever since my coworker Jerry told me he could literally eat 1,000 burritos.
Well, that's literally impossible, but there is literally a Honda Dream Deal sales event happening right now. And Honda is KBB.com's 2018 best value brand. Seriously.
Now's the time to get a great deal on a certified pre-owned Honda at your local Honda dealer.
Based on 2018 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for information.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here.
Or here.
Or here! One of the nation's best savings rates. Opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Napa know-how.
Right now, 5-quart jugs of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil are only $18.99. It protects your engine from sludge and extreme temperatures. But did you know it also protects our troops? Yep, with each purchase of Napa Full Synthetic for $18.99, a portion goes to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 10/31/18.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Back on the Gym Class, KGYM here at 3:39. And before we bring on Mike Halas, we were talking about this during the break, Mark, and that is the fact that condolences going out to longtime Iowan Lou King. Goes back, one of the founders. Or if maybe he was the sole guy that brought the Amana VIP to the Iowa City area.
Well, George Forstner had a lot to do with it, the CEO of Amana. But Lou King, just a great ambassador for not only Amana, but for golf. He became director of the PGA in later years. And just he knew how to put on golf tournaments and raise money. And that's what the Amana VIP was all about. Just a wildly popular event in Iowa back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, even with Joe Garagiola hitting drives off the gallery. I almost got hit by Joe Garagiola. Maybe our next guest almost got hit by Joe Garagiola. Or Gerald Ford's golf ball. Mike Halas, read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter as well, at Halas, the columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And I want to ask you if you had to duck golf balls at the Amana VIP ever, Mike. So.
No, I only went once or twice, and what I remember was talking to Tom Watson at a softball game the day before.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was a better golfer.
I remember the free throw shooting contests they would have on the first tee. Yeah. Those, they always had some fun stuff, though, at the VIP.
It was a different time, you know. I mean, that was quite a thing, that recognizable celebrities from showbiz and golf that went to that. It was pretty amazing in retrospect. At the time, I'm not sure people realized, you know, how big that was.
Amazing too has been Iowa's last three games, Mike, and I thought it was darn near perfect performance on Saturday, especially with the wind conditions. Pitching a shutout is always good. Double time of possession, and right on down the list. How'd you see it?
I don't know what more you would have reasonably wanted, you know. I mean, first of all, obviously a shutout is as good as it gets defensively, but it went beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first of all, the defense was only on the field for, what, 30-some plays?
Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And Maryland had the ball past the 50 for two plays. One of them, I think they got, the deepest they got was the 46 or 48. And on the second of those two plays, they threw an interception. It was Iowa had good field position to start with a lot of the day. Maryland didn't. And Maryland had, what was it, 115 yards total? You know, it's just one of those rare bird performances. I talked to a former Iowa player. Somebody was on the team last year, in fact. I talked to him today, and he said that was kind of a freaky game, that if Iowa played Maryland 10 times, he thinks that's the only time that they would dominate them like that. He predicted Iowa would win and win, you know, by 10 points or more, but he just he thinks Maryland's a better team than what you saw Saturday, and just Iowa did everything right and things broke right.
In 2018, you just sit back and think about it, a team gaining, you know, less, having the ball basically one quarter of a 60-minute football game, and to put together about 120 yards, maybe even less than that. Those are numbers, and I'm not even going to say eye-popping, that are just unheard of in 2018.
Yeah, except, you know what? We can go back 11 months ago when Iowa played at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And, you know, 66 yards. Again, is something that I've only seen once, and I don't anticipate ever seeing again. It's some days it's just, it's all clicking for one side, and Iowa didn't score that many points. It only had one offensive touchdown, but it controlled the game. It ran for, what did it run for, 200 yards?
Yeah, over 200 yards.
Yeah, and boy, you'll take that every day of the week and twice on Saturday, so... To me, there was nothing about it to complain about. The field goal kicker, Rufinos, I thought was almost extraordinary in making all three field goals. I don't care what distance they were. That, to me, looked like a guessing game. And then their punter only punted twice, Rastetter, but they were both beauties. So all three units did what they were supposed to do, and the wind made passing absurd, so you just throw out Stanley statistics. You know, he couldn't be himself. Maryland's quarterback couldn't either. And then you're left with who's better at smash mouth, and there wasn't much doubt about it.
Mike, did what happened in West Lafayette remind you of anything that happened in Iowa City in a night game against Ohio State last year? And I ask you, in the context of the following week, Iowa went and gotten their butts kicked by Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, I don't care who you are. You can't be a human being and not have some sort of emotional drainage from a win like that. So Purdue's got to get back up and play at Michigan State next Saturday. And that's, you know, that'll be tough sledding, but what a nice problem to have, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what a very good problem to have. And now all of a sudden – it is not so much the Big Ten East as the big bully on the block. The Big Ten West is come up a little bit. It's a mess on both sides, basically, as far as the division standings are concerned. And like you wrote today, and same thing I tweeted to Mark on Saturday as soon as the game was over, that the next 3 weeks are going to be Iowa's football season.
Yeah, that's a pretty logical way to look at it, I think. I mean, you're talking – back-to-back road games against Penn State and Purdue. This is different than back-to-back road games against Minnesota and Indiana, which Iowa had and managed those two beautifully. But Penn State, everybody knows what it's like to go there. They're having a disappointing season, but they're still very good. And then if you win that, you're flying high, except you go to Purdue, which can – as we saw Saturday night, it looks like they can beat anybody in the league if they've got things, you know, working. So, get those two, and oh my goodness, huh? You know, it's the sky's the limit, basically. I mean, you can't control what happens with Wisconsin because you don't play them again, but so what? You know, if you win these next two, you should be looking to me at 11-1, and I know they've got Northwestern at home. And 11-1 is a glorious season. The trick is that bridge between now and two games from now.
Northwestern with a half-game lead in the West over three other teams. Is there any of the four that you might favor at this point?
Actually, no, I don't think so. Wisconsin's injury racked. And they didn't look very good at Michigan last week. They have to go to Northwestern, and they have to go to Penn State, and they have to go to Purdue. It's an awful lot to ask to win all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
An awful lot. Northwestern, I'm not very sold on. I mean, they're a nice team, but, you know, they limped past Rutgers Saturday. But they're the kind of team that always seems just good enough to limp past almost anybody. So you can't discount them, but they've got a gauntlet. They'll have Wisconsin at home, Notre Dame at home, and then they come to Iowa. So that's pretty rugged stuff. And then Purdue goes to Michigan State Saturday, and Purdue could turn right around and get whipped.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think there are endless possibilities.
Michael Oss joining us, Gazette Sports columnist here at 3:48, joins us on Mondays here on the Gym Class on KGYM. And before we leave the Iowa situation here, the Iowa running game, as you mentioned, over 200 yards. And it was not the prettiest. It was a bring your lunch pail to work day. Weather-wise, it was a bring your lunch pail to work day on the field for Iowa. But I think they would have it no other way than that. You don't see 2 hour and 40 minute games anymore. All we needed was a 1 o'clock start to that thing, and it would have been a throwback to the 70s, and Mark would have been smiling from ear to ear.
That would have been.
Well, it's going to be different Saturday in Penn State, of course. I mean, Penn State has a big-time offense, and it's going against a big-time defense. I mean, this is like the cliche about the irresistible object and immovable force, or however it's phrased. Iowa's numbers defensively are sensational. I mean, they're tied for second in rushing defense, third in total defense. I think they're fifth or sixth in scoring defense. And if you look at the teams on those lists of the defensive categories, those are big winners. Some of the teams in the offensive list, you know, they get in shootouts or they play in leagues where defense is optional. But you look at the lists of total defense, and you're talking Michigan's and Clemson's and Miami's and, you know, good, solid teams. And we've said on here week after week, if you've got the defense, you can beat anybody. And I think that's Iowa's story of the season so far.
One of the questions coming into the season, Mike, was the Iowa wide receiving core and whether it could make a jump ahead or a leap forward. And Brandon Smith made a hell of a catch in the end zone on Saturday. It was not a passing day per se because of the wind. Do you see measurable improvement in this receiving core?
Sure. I mean, their stats aren't eye-popping, but twice in the last 3 weeks, Smith has made sort of, I don't know, game-changing is not the right word, but difference-making catches. Catches that aren't routine. Catches that you just don't see very many people make. And he made one at Minnesota that was absolutely sensational. And then, you know, with the one you just mentioned, of course, was one-hand stab that was, you know, coaches don't teach that. The 1 in 100 kid, maybe 1 in 1,000 can do it or can't. So, that, you know, it was such a strange day Saturday that Iowa tight ends got shut out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about touchdowns. But it wasn't their day. It was not a thrower's day, and yet for Smith to come away with a play like that in a game like that or under conditions like that was kind of remarkable, really.
Question for you in the text line, Mike, in the 563 area code. Are the antics between Michigan State and Michigan funny or immature / bad for college football?
Well, you asked me that, and before I could answer, I started laughing, so I guess they're funny.
Those two coaches are behind this, right?
I don't know. I mean, bad sportsmanship's nothing to commend, but I take no offense at it, so I guess it's okay by me. You know, it's just, look, these things don't happen by accident. Coaches get these kids so worked up, and, you know, years of rivalry stuff gets them all worked up. And don't make no mistake about it. Players take rivalry seriously. Sometimes you think that it's a fan's thing, and the players are more businesslike about it. But players have their they're invested in rivalries. And that Michigan-Michigan State thing is really, I mean, it's always been something, but since Harbaugh's been up there, he and D'Antonio going back and forth, it's gone to a new level, and I think it'd be great fun to be a sports writer up there covering that.
To our texter, I think what's bad for sports is what Brandon Ingram did in that Lakers game. He shouldn't even be in the league anymore. I'm sorry. I had to get that off my chest.
Oh, well, I you know what? I'm woefully ignorant about it. I didn't see it. I vaguely heard something about it. It's not really in my world.
Game three, the NBA is not taking
well,
center
when
stage.
You run from half court and deliver a haymaker to somebody, yeah, that's not good.
No, I didn't even know that. Yeah. So I'm a poor person to ask about it.
I just had to get it off my chest. I'm sorry.
There you go. Mark feels better. Iowa State welcomes in Texas Tech after the off week. A Texas Tech team playing pretty good football. Even stopping some people at times. Iowa State has kind of had their way with the Red Raiders, though, over the years, and we'll see what happens in Ames on Saturday.
Yes, they are two good defenses. Something's changing in the Big 12. Texas Tech's played really good defense this season, and Iowa State's played it for 2 years in a row. So it's an important game, you know, like they all are, but Iowa State wins this. It's three straight in the Big 12, and momentum squarely on their side. And it would be three straight good teams in a row that they would have beaten. So I'll be watching from afar. I'll be in Pennsylvania, but be very interested to see if they can keep it going.
What's the best way to get to Happy Valley from here, Mike?
Airplane.
It's a lot better than it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, you know, we're going to from here to Detroit to State College and then driving to Altoona.
We got another text for you, Mike. What are the most important things Iowa has to do at Penn State to get a victory?
Well, you know, there's some cliches. You know, win the turnover battle, win, play better on special teams, blah, blah, blah. But I say just give your standard defensive performance because I think they can score enough points to win if their defense can hold McSorley in that offense in the 21 to 24 point range. Last year's score was weird. Penn State wins on the last play 21 to 19 in Iowa City, but they had 99 plays in that game and 570-some yards. They dominated the game except when it came to punching it in.
Mm-hmm.
This year, Iowa's defense has to, you know, set things so that the yardage is even between the two teams, and if it is, I think Iowa can win. But this is the best quarterback Iowa's going to play in the regular season. And, you know, it's Penn State. They've got receivers and backs. They're really good, but they're not great. You know, something's just not quite there.
Yeah.
So, and if you've watched Iowa the last few weeks, you say to yourself, something is there. So that's what leads me to think that Iowa's got a 50-50 chance here.
Don't let McSorley go crazy. I think that's the big thing.
Yeah, and it's going to be a different thing than what they played at Minnesota or Indiana. You know, I mean, those places were both lifeless. This is 100,000 people. This is what they live for. And, you know, their Penn State's team will come out fired up. It's just a matter of can Iowa, you know, take the air out of their balloon quickly or is it going to be a long night?
Mike, appreciate it as always. Keep up the great work. Say hi to Mount Nittany for us.
Yeah, I hope I see it from a distance as opposed to up close on the airplane.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Mike Halas joining us. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter as well at Halas. We'll talk Texas Tech football coming up tomorrow. Also, Gary Dolphin, voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, will join Mark and I coming up tomorrow at 3. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That is coming away from 4 until 7 o'clock tonight. We got Monday Night Football and the FM's Giants and the Falcons and the Cyclone Coaches Show on 1600 AM at 7 o'clock. Talk to you tomorrow.
We were naive about all things money.
And we maybe put money.